This is a free download from the BBC. For more information, go to bbc.co.uk/podcasts.
Is she going to come in and start bossing us about?
Hello! Oh, here she comes.
Shh.
Hang on a second.
Hang on.
What's doing? Hello, Alice.
Hi, Alice.
We're going to record the podcast links.
Okay. That sounds good.
You sound sarcastic.
No, I'm not. I always sound sarcastic, but I don't mean to.
Okay. Hello, dear listener. Welcome to the Ian Lee BBC Three Counties podcast. Over 1 million downloads so far today, and that's got to be great news. We get £1 for every download, I think. When's that check coming?
Oh, well,
hey.
A bit later.
Now, I don't remember. This is the voice of Alice Glossop, by the way.
Hello.
Kelly Betts turns out, is on holiday. How rude. So I've got no idea what's in the podcast. I
sent you a message on the MPS.
I've just logged out.
He's logged out. It's Friday, as far as he's concerned. It's Friday, as far as everyone's concerned. It's Friday.
I can't print downstairs. So.
Why do none of the printers in this...
Well,
building.
The one upstairs is broken, which I am connected to.
You should have printed it in their studio, then gone in really loudly and... pulled it off the machine.
I wouldn't do that. That's rude.
That's exactly. Right, well, let me... So you sent me a message telling me what's in the show.
Yeah.
Have you? There we go. Pod stuff. Oh, yeah!
Have I described them well enough?
Well, what does this mean? Pete in Luton. Button that turns off the radio. He found a stiff bear and his wife's belly...
Stife! E-I-F-F. That's
Oh,
stife,
yeah, yeah,
it?
Yeah. I remember this one.
Oh, do you introduce it, then?
Ian found a button that turned off the radio. It sounded like this.
Pete in Luton. Morning, Pete.
Hello, my friend. How are you?
I'm really excited. I have found the button that turns off the radio. We're asking this morning for your stories about I'd never seen that button before. What you got for us, Pete?
Right, the first one was I bought a teddy bear at a car boot sale.
Yeah.
Which I liked.
Yeah, of course you do. You go to a car boot sale, you see a dirty old teddy bear, and you buy it.
Yeah. I looked into it further, and it had a button in its left ear.
Ooh.
And I've now looked into it even further, and it is a Stife teddy bear, which is worth more than the £1 I paid for it.
Oh, you mean it's got like a coat button in its ear?
It's got a little button in its ear, and on the back part of the button it says Stife, which is a very rare teddy bear.
Have you had it valued?
I've had it valued by a couple of people. The first one I didn't think gave me a true valuation.
In other words, it was less than you hoped for.
Yes, but it's worth more than my £1.50 I paid for.
Go on.
Considerably amount.
Give us the figures, Pete.
It's worth about £150 and £160.
Flippin' heck, that's an increase of over 1,000,000%.
I know, isn't it, love? I can actually say I'm a millionaire that way.
Exactly.
But I found another button as well.
Yeah, go on.
And this one was 40 years ago, and it was my dear lady's belly button.
Had she never seen it before?
Well, I hadn't.
Ladies and gentlemen, Pete in Luton, thank you very much indeed. OK, here's the next one. I don't remember what any of this stuff is. I'm a beef detector and I smell beef.
Oh, I know what that was.
You thought I had beef?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and I could smell it. Alice is here as well. Morning, Alice.
Morning.
All right, mate, calm down. She's got such a cob on today.
I haven't.
What's your beef?
I've got no beef.
What's your beef, Gloss?
No beef.
Beef isn't there, Catherine?
There might be a bit of beef.
What's her beef?
It's your beef.
What's your beef?
I haven't got beef.
I can smell it. I can see it.
I
can smell your beef.
She just did a face there that suggested there might be beef.
That face was very
I tried
beefy.
I not have beef. I'm getting increasingly beefy.
You've got a beef face.
Hey, yeah. Hey, come on. Hey, listen. What's your beef? What's your beef? Come on.
I mean, if anything was going to get beef out of me, it would be that.
Yeah, yeah.
That what? Reasoning.
Okay.
But there's...
So, what's your beef? Come on. Tell us what your beef is.
I'm without beef.
Hey.
That's her beef. She's got no beef.
I'm a beef detector, and I'm detecting... I'm a butcher and I'm detecting beef. Come on, what's going on? What's your beef? Seriously, what is it? Boys? Girls? I don't know.
I put the song in, but you...
Oh, dear. OK, well, so see. So, right, so I think
that's not beef, that's prime rib.
I think she wants us to move on from the beef. Can you have a little girly chat with her and find out what the beef is and then join the papers? Tell me on air.
Yeah.
Nice one. I'm not going to give you the phone number because you never call. I remember this. Benjamin. Oh, have a listen to this phone call, guys, and see if you can work out whether it's a prank or not. Benjamin's about to prank me. Morning, Benjamin.
Good morning, Dad.
What would you like to say, prank call Benjamin?
Well, I have a comment on the flag scenario.
Yes?
I just want to say that I think if young people of today, these chaps...
You're listening to a prank call from Benjamin live on BBC Three Counties Radio.
They absolutely should fly the flag, I think.
This is not his real voice.
They put on a lot of...
He's pretending to be a posh old man. I'm guessing he's about, 26? Yeah?
Government coffers, and if they want to fly the flag, then I think they very well should do fly the flag.
Do you not think the flag's a bit chavvy, Benjamin? I'm engaging in conversation to draw this out as long as possible. It's not working for him, not working for me. Yes, Benjamin. Could be a swear coming up, be careful.
Pick up a very, very nice vintage flag. Possibly a navy.
No, I don't think he's a swearer. I could still catch me out with a swear, but I don't think he is.
And fly that.
We'll carry on. Yeah. What vintage? What year do you think it should be?
Anything.
I think he's just a friendly pranker, not a swearer, nothing nasty.
1912 onwards, that sort of thing, you know.
And Benjamin, what year were you born?
Me, I was born in 1980, sir.
Right, but why do you sound like you're in your 70s?
Well,
I'm going to deconstruct him now.
Maybe it's just hark back to better days, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. I'll let him off gently. Do you want to say goodbye in your real voice?
Goodbye.
Across beds, hearts and bucks.
This is Ian Lee.
BBC Three Counties Radio.
Now, I don't know what this means. Chat up with your fuddler.
Yeah, I know what that means.
Really? Do you remember this?
Yeah, when I went out a while ago.
Oh, yeah. Oh, don't give away the punchline.
When I went out a while ago, I tried to use a well-known Real Ale magazine as a decoy. Didn't work.
This is what happened. What are you laughing at?
Work fast, guys. You've 15 minutes to chat up a girl.
What, when? From when does it start? Has it started? Has
the now.
Hello, my name's Ian, and I'm really...
I'm a bit busy.
Okay.
Women take just 15...
Do you like The One Show? For those who don't know, that was a genuine chat-up line used on Catherine Boyle in a bar recently. How did it work? What was it?
I was pretending to read The Fuddler.
The what? What did you say? What's the Fuddler?
The Fuddler is a newspaper.
No, it's not, love.
Like a fanzine for Real Ale, right?
Oh.
But it's what people read when their friends go to the loo and you realise there's someone looming.
That's what got him hot and fruity.
Well,
she reads The Fuddler. I wonder if she also likes pipe. I'd share my pipe with her.
All right. So my friend went to the loo and I thought, oh, God, here he comes. Read The Fuddler. And... Anyway, undaunted, he interrupted my reading of the latest
undaunted
in Real Ale.
Undaunted by The Fuddler techniques.
I notice you're reading The Fuddler. Do you like pipe?
That would have been better. Yeah. He said, hello. Do you like The One Show? And that was my response. I nearly dropped my Fuddler.
Oh, was that his opening gambit?
That was it.
I thought he'd worked a little bit of magic before.
No, just the hello before, not just, hello, do you like The One Show?
That's insane, isn't it, as an opening gambit. Well, fair play.
There's a reason why he's like in his 50s and hanging around the pub on a Saturday.
Well, hang on, because to be honest, you're past it, Alice. you're still young and vibrant.
Oh yeah.
If an old man
who looked like Lovejoy.
Oh, you're really selling it to me.
If Lovejoy came up to you and asked, I mean, do you like The One Show?
No.
Still, that's not a laugh. That's a conversation. That's an in.
That was a good conversation.
It's a sad, sad no.
And then what happened after that?
I laughed.
Oh, gosh, you
crushed
his
dreams. And he went back to his mates.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they'd all been, like, hovering, which is why I knew that I had to reach for some sort of prop to avert, you know, so I didn't catch his eye, which is why I reached for the fuddler.
Oh, dear. Well,
it's quite a good read, actually.
All the ladies in the house.
The Ladies' Perspective with Ian Lee across beds, hearts and bucks.
The ladies, the ladies, the ladies, the ladies, the ladies, the ladies.
Tagged on to the end of that story was that rather uncomfortable discussion about Danish sperm. I don't know if there's a connection between the two, but There you go. Driving in this morning, and I heard a half-hour documentary on Radio 4. It was all about Danish sperm.
What?
Yeah, 30 minutes on Danish sperm this morning on Radio 4.
Why just Danish?
Excuse me?
Why just Danish?
No, excuse me, who invited you into the conversation? Oh, go on, you're in now.
Because the drama's popular, so they're going to try and sell us...
Daneland is the home... They are one of the biggest exporters of sperm.
How does sperm get exported? But I mean...
Come on, guys. Do you want the serious answer to that question or the ridiculous one?
From a different...
In a jiffy. That works on so many levels. On so many levels.
Nice one.
Ask me that again.
How do they export sperm?
In a jiffy. That works on so many levels. I've got three levels at least. There are probably more, guys. And there's not a court or an Ofcom regulation in the land that can
that. Don't tempt fate.
How do they export it? I don't know. Do they freeze? I guess they freeze it, don't they?
But then what do they put it in?
A freezer.
A canister.
Like a boat?
What?
A boat.
A boat?
But to take it to another place.
An aeroplane.
I think it needs a dedicated delivery service. I think it just goes along with all the other stuff.
Some woman ordered some online and used it to impregnate her stepdaughter.
What? That's normal.
Did her stepdaughter know about it?
Yeah, I mean, the story gets... Let's not go too... It's a murky story, but I'm just saying...
It started out so beautifully normal.
So no, but I'm just saying that you... What do you mean, did they do it on a boat? Why would it go on a boat?
I don't know.
But why? What made you think of a boat?
I just thought of when things are moved
boat.
From... When things are moved around, sometimes it's on boats.
Yeah, more... Not very often.
Like crates and
freight. Yeah, I am thinking crates and freight.
But it'll go on and it doesn't take up much room. It's tiny, sperm. You've not seen it. It's really tiny.
Well, okay. I think we've done this one.
I've only just started.
I know, but I think we...
Oh, you're saying I finished? You give me the producer, you finished look. Wow, you're giving me the hat.
We could do it again after the travel and news.
All right, yeah, nice one. Oh, this turns out that some of the stuff was quite good this week. I thought it was a stinker. We had new phone callers only.
Yes.
One day.
We got quite strict with them, didn't we?
We got very, very strict with them. And Callum, I believe, was one of the new phone callers talking about this. Good morning, Callum.
Good morning, Ian. How are you doing?
I'm all right. I'm pleased to hear some new voices on the radio. Thank you very much. You've called in about the hairy chest, have you?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I've heard an old Chinese proverb.
Uh-oh.
It sort of goes like this with an accent. Old Chinese proverb say, bird never make nest on bare tree. You get that one?
I think I do get it. Now, by bird, you mean woman. By bare
right.
tree, you mean shaved chest. And by nest, I mean what? She's sitting on you.
That's right, yeah. You know, like, if you've got a hairy chest, it's a nest, isn't it?
Yeah.
So a bird would never make a nest on a bare tree.
The nest bit has confused me. So she's sitting on your chest?
No, she's not sitting on my chest.
What's she doing on your chest then?
No, just a proverb.
Oh, so have you got... Right, hang on, I got it, Callum. So you're bald on your chest?
No, I've got a hairy chest.
And is there a bird sitting on you?
Not at the moment, no.
When was the last time a bird sat on you?
Last night.
This is Ian Lee
on BBC Three Counties Radio.
Thursday phone-in topics? Is that...
There are quite a lot. I thought you might want to review all of them, so I wrote all of the phone-in topics.
You've been very quiet in this podcast, Alice, and yet you've done all of the production work, so you can do the phone-in topics.
Oh, but I can't see the screen. It was, what's your beef with Stevenage?
Yep, that's one. There are four of them.
And there's... When has someone taken the mic?
Your boss.
When has your boss taken the mic?
Yeah, that's two.
When have you seen a dead body at work?
Yeah, that's...
If you're not someone that should be.
Yeah, there are five of them then.
And then there was also...
Get on with it.
When has someone told you to get on with it?
No, I was actually telling her to get on with it, but that was a coincidence.
Are there more?
Yeah, one more.
And what is a big circle?
No.
What's the biggest thing you've ever seen?
Oh, yeah! And is that in this podcast?
Which?
Well, they didn't really work, did they?
Oh, so why are we
listening? We've got the... What's the next thing on the list?
Justin and his Stevenage package.
No.
So we've just gone through that list of topics, and yet we're not that you, people won't
I
hear
can
the.
Put some in.
No,
I know because people have beef with Stevenage.
Now listen, the home of the big tour. Where are we this week?
Stevenage.
Hey,
lots of things to celebrate about Stevenage.
Everyone loves Stevenage.
What's not to like about Stevenage?
Particularly people called Stephen who are of an age and live there. I bet they're having a great time.
I bet they are. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Boss. I've actually been to Stevenage. I was there yesterday.
My mate Paul lives there.
Does he?
Yeah. Hello, Paul.
Hi, Paul. Morning to you, sir. Yeah. So what I've done, made a little package for you with some Stevenage facts.
Yep.
And then I spoke to the locals about what they love about
Beautiful.
Stevenage.
Excellent.
And it all goes horribly wrong.
Oh.
Take a listen to this. Stevenage was a designated new town under the New Towns Act of 1946. Around 30 miles north of London, it's the birthplace of a superstar who loves cars and pussycat dolls.
There is the chequered flag for Lewis Hamilton. It's a massive, massive win for the Briton.
F1's Lewis Hamilton, who still talks with passion for his hometown. Stevenage had the first traffic-free shopping zone officially opened by the Queen in 1959. Astrium is based in the town. They make spacecraft and take part in groundbreaking scientific space exploration missions. Only last October, a satellite that was built locally was launched into orbit, carrying the biggest array of imaging sensors ever flown into space. And here is an actual sound of the beast taking off.
3, 2, 1, top, décollage.
They also have a football team, formerly known as Stevenage Borough, now simply Stevenage. They currently lie 17th in League Two under the leadership of Wezza, a.k.a. Graham Wesley.
I won't ever take no for an answer.
Chill out, Gray. You do realise your suits don't fit you properly.
I'm fed up with it, to be honest with you.
Well, enough of the history lesson. What do people living in Stevenage think is so great about their town? Here's what they had to say on the streets. What's the best thing about this place?
It's just like any other place, really. There's nothing special about it. It's just
nothing special.
No.
This is your town.
Yeah, I know it is, but so was Hackney, my town. It's just the same.
Yeah, but you're mugging your own town off.
I'm not mugging it off. I'm just saying it's nothing special.
Sir, you travelled all the way from Romania. What's the best thing about this town?
I don't know.
It's green.
It's green.
Yeah. Quick access.
Is that about as good as it gets?
Yeah.
Cheers. Stevenage, the home of our big tour. Why not try it for yourself one day? And you might just like it. We're gonna rock this town, rock it
inside. So let's just check. The best thing about Stevenage is quick access.
Yes, the road out. That's the best that we got. Come on, guys. Come on. If you live in Stevenage, I can only work with what's in front of me. That was the best I got yesterday from people living in Stevenage.
That made me laugh so much, Justin. Thank you very much indeed.
Okay.
I particularly liked it when you were talking about the satellite and Catherine pointed out that you were using proper space music.
Absolutely. Magic Fly by Space, a big French house anthem back in the 1970s.
Local and vocal across Beds, Hearts and Bucks.
This is Ian Lee.
BBC Three Counties Radio.
Plumbers, it turns out, are very, very weird people, aren't they? I just thought they were guys that came round, smoked a roll-up while stealing money from your bank account. But no, we had two plumbing calls.
Off the back of those phone-in topics.
Fair play. She just pwned me, and I will accept that pwnership. And this is what they had to say.
Morning, Kieran.
Hi there.
What's the biggest thing you've ever sealed?
A coffin.
Oh.
Hey, flipping it. What were you doing that for?
This coffin was being sent to Italy, and I'm a plumber, and we got called to...
I can't wait to see how this story turns up. You're a plumber, and your coffin was being sent to Italy. Yeah, carry on.
And it was, like, in line, so we had to seal, like, with solder. Solder it up so it's airtight.
So, hang on a second. Did you put the lid on the coffin, or did you just kind of seal up the holes?
Just seal up the holes.
Kieran, it's a cracking story, but I can't allow it. Well, did you not... But you were a plumber. Was that... Did you not... How did the phone call go when you got that job?
I was working for somebody, and...
That sounds very dodgy.
It wasn't very nice. He had lots of a glass thing as well. We could see the body. I wasn't too happy about it.
Well, and how did you express the fact you weren't very happy?
I just didn't like looking at a dead body, but my boss didn't just get on with it. And
oh, blimey. Surely there's... I don't know if there's... Are you in a union or anything? Because surely, if you don't want to look at a dead body and you're a plumber, you don't have to.
Listen, who are you working for? Don Corleone?
Things are different them days, I suppose.
I suppose they were. So you sealed up the edge of the coffin, did you, Kieran?
Yeah.
Do you know what?
Yeah.
That's a cracking call. Do you know what?
We'll let that work.
Okay, we'll change it. I'll allow your bath, Catherine.
Good.
And I'll allow, because Kieran's call was so good. There you go. The biggest thing you've sealed. We've already had a plumber who's had to seal a coffin that was being sent to Italy, and he was unhappy because he had to look at a dead body. And he told his boss, and his boss said, get on with it. Chris is on the line. Morning, Chris.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm enjoying myself again. What have you got for us?
Well, I'm quite intrigued, actually, about finding dead bodies, what you said. Myself and a colleague, we work for a plumbing company. I don't want to give you names.
It's plumbers! It was plumbers and corpses!
Yeah, well, we get called out to a lot of problems. And on this particular day, myself and a colleague, we got called very early one morning, about 6 o'clock. It was winter time. It was really cold, snow on the floor, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, we arrived on site, the fire brigade are walking around, and I'm thinking, what's going on here? And we had to turn the water off. So we go in there, fire brigade couldn't find the stopcock, we're trying to find the stopcock, and eventually the guy turns around to me, oh, he's got all the paraphernalia on, he said, look, I'm in charge, blah, blah, blah. He said, are you squeamish? I said, no, I said, I'm okay, but my colleague said, well, what's going on? I said, look, I'm all right, he can wait outside.
Oh.
Anyway, I've gone inside.
My heart's going.
Well, I've gone inside to the hall, open the door, and there, in front of the fireplace, is a big hole in the shape, not of the shape of a human, but like the shape of a human. And I'm thinking, that's a bit weird. And he's looking at me, and he's going to me, what are you looking at? I said, well, what's that? And he said, well, go and have a look. And I've had a look. Laying in the bottom of the hole, there is part of a limb. And I'm thinking to myself, it's just a bit weird.
It's a little bit weird, isn't it? That is a little bit weird.
Well, hairs on the back of my neck started to stand up, and I thought, this is really crazy. Anyway, he said, what it was, they found a body, or part of a body, in front of a fire, and I looked, and he said, have you ever heard of spontaneous human combustion?
Oh no!
Yeah. But it gets even weirder than that. So I turned around and said, no, I haven't. Anyway, went outside to my colleague, and I said to him, I said, Lowell, you've got to come and look at this. And he said, no. I said, you've got to, because nobody will ever believe me when I tell people, because I do come out with a few porkies now and again.
I bet you do. You sound the sort, yeah. You tell
so anyway,
a good story.
There's me and my mate Lowell, and we're standing there, and we're looking at this, and this fireman, he's looking at me as if this is a normal occurrence. And I said, are you kidding me? Have you seen this before? He said, yeah, he said, I've been doing the job for X amount of years, and he said, and I've actually seen this a few times. Anyway, so I was a bit shocked. I went home, and in those days, we didn't have mobile phones. It was going back a few years.
Yeah.
So otherwise, I think I would have taken a sneaky photograph.
Oh, no, Chris!
Yeah, you've got to stick it on somewhere, you know, get a few quid for it. Anyway, so you can tell by the sort of person I am, so I'm quite...
you're a plumber.
All plumbers are like that. Anyway, so we do that, and I told my colleagues, nobody believed me for years and years and years, and eventually, believe it or not, approximately 3 weeks ago...
Here comes the punchline.
The same sort of thing happened, but it wasn't part of a limb.
Well, what was it? Don't tell me it was a stop...
I've got to get... It was part of a body... But I'm not going to tell you what part of my body, because I think it's breakfast time.
It wasn't the stopcock, was it?
No. It was part of a hand. And it was just holding a handkerchief. But the handkerchief was not burnt.
Chris, you've put the wellies on me.
Now, listen to me. I will tell you something, right?
Yeah.
I'm quite, as I say, I'm open-minded and that.
Yeah.
This happened twice. If I get a call to a house again, I'm not going to go.
I'm assuming, but... Chris, because now you have got mobile phones, you took a sneaky picture and you're trying to get a few quid off it. Hey, busted! Carl tried to phone us several times throughout the show. We eventually got him on a good line. I'm glad he did, because he's some kind of deviant. Listen to what he gets up to in his spare time. Morning, Kyle.
Morning, boss. You all right?
We can hear you.
No, sorry about that.
What's wrong with your phone, Frank? I mean, Kyle.
I don't know, wandering around the streets of the Three Counties.
Yeah, well, you should find yourself a base. Now, what were you going to say, Kyle? First of all, have you ever seen a dead body at work?
I saw a dead body in a park once, but not at work.
You weren't at work. Okay, well, that's a call-in for another day.
Right.
Has anyone ever told you to get on with it?
My boss, plenty of times.
Yeah. And has your boss ever taken the mick?
He's never taken the mick, but nor have I ever seen a pool lagoon or a poo. I've never seen one.
Well, it turns out neither have we. It's not quite the story we were sold yesterday by one of my colleagues. You'll get a slap and a forced haircut later on today. But, Kyle, you've called in about old TV shows. What you got for us, fella?
Well, no, the two things was, one, the bloke Colin, is he from Dunstable?
Yes.
He sounds like the bloke from On the Buses, but not Blakey or Reg Varney, the other one.
Oh, the sexy one?
Jack, was he called Jack?
Was it Jack was always having it off with birds?
that was the one, yeah.
That was the one, wasn't it? He was supposed to be a bit sexy, but he was an out fella as well.
Yeah, he sounds like him. He properly sounds like him.
I don't really remember On the Bus. All I remember is I'll get you, butler, and Olive. And that's it. That's all I remember.
Yeah, no, they're the only two bits. And then the other bit, because I know you buy your monkey's paraphernalia, don't you?
I certainly do, my friend. Yeah, what you got? What you selling?
Only this week.
You sound like Frank Sidebottom. Now you sound like Jimmy Savile. Only this week. Go on.
Right, I bought a Maplin's outfit. You know, like the yellow coat thing. Like they always wore the yellow coats, didn't they? And I bought one because I've always wanted one.
Did it come with shorts or trousers? Are you going to be chinos or shorts with this?
You get pants with it.
Pants, white pants.
White pants, and yes. And why has it gone quiet now? I'm worried now.
We're imagining you in this get-up. When are you going to wear this?
Just parading around the house, really. Just can't think of another good use for it.
Do you know what? I completely understand that.
This is great because, okay, I can confess this now. Whenever you ever tried to dress up like someone from TV and not for a fancy dress party, because I was obsessed with the television programme Lost. And there was a company that was made, there were the jumpsuits, like worker jumpsuits were a big thing in Lost, okay? They all wore them. And there was a company that was making these and selling these. And you could get, it looked like it was from the TV programme. And I got my wife to get me one for my birthday. And I wore it three times, and I thought, oh, I've got rid of it now. But I used to walk around the house pretending I was in Lost. So do you walk around saying, first rule of showbiz, Spike, never turn your back on an audience? Do you do all that kind of stuff?
I only arrived this week, so I've yet to fully...
Oh, mate.
We need a picture.
We totally need a photograph. Right. If you're embarrassed, you can crop your head off. The head's not the important part, it's the body.
Right, OK, I'll do... It's not like a Fred Quilly one, it's not like a satin thing, it's just a yellow coat.
But Heidi-Hi was rubbish, wasn't it?
No, it was good.
Which bit?
All of it, I quite like it. And you rang my lord and Dr. Beach. All right, Dad's Army is a bit poor.
God, how old are you, Carl? Because you sound like a young man.
Yeah, 40.
He's one of us, he's an old fella. All right, well, Kyle... when are you next wearing the outfit?
I'll probably put it on at the weekend.
Oh.
Send us a picture, mate.
Will do.
Thank you very much indeed. This is great. We're on fire this morning. When have you dressed up as someone in a TV show, but not for a fancy dress party?
Wicked Queen from Snow White.
You do that quite a lot, don't you?
She gets results from the kids.
It's good.
They won't do what I say, but they don't mess with her.
On FM, AM, online and digital radio.
This is Ian Lee.
On BBC Three Counties Radio.
Speaking of killings, don't forget this was uttered today.
I'm going to murder Ian Lee.
There we go now. Can I just say, if I do get murdered, let's hope it doesn't happen, but if it does, as long as it's recorded for television or radio and I win an award, less of an inconvenience, just make sure that this is played.
I'm going to murder Ian Lee.
In court. And this bit of me talking now is played in court and you're all crying. And make sure you're both crying in court when you hear this.
I'll be crying tears of joy because I won't be prime suspect. Naturally, I would be, wouldn't I? But... that there is just taking me right off the hook.
Taking the heat off.
Okay. Are you going to murder me?
No, probably not.
Could you say I'm going to murder Ian Lee?
No.
Say it.
No.
I won't clip it.
No.
Just say it.
No.
Just say it.
No.
I won't clip it.
No.
Just say it.
No.
I won't clip it.
No.
Just say it.
No.
Just say it.
No.
Just say it.
No.
I won't clip it. Just say it.
No.
I won't clip it. Just say it.
No.
Just say it.
No.
Just say it.
No.
Just say it. I won't clip it. Just say it.
No.
If you hear a whisper, give us a shout.
Ian Lee.
BBC Three Counties Radio.
Jenny to Milton Keynes. Morning, Jenny.
Good morning, Ian.
What have you got for us?
Well, I just wanted to say to you, you were talking about the fine romance.
With no kisses.
You know, the programme.
Yes.
And you said that after Judy Dench's husband died, she went into another programme with Jeffrey Palmer.
Yes.
But it wasn't. It was the same programme.
What?
It was, but Jeffrey Palmer took the place of her husband, who was called Michael something.
He was Michael something, wasn't he? What was he? Not Michael Landon.
He was a little bloke.
Not Michael Elphick.
No. He was called Michael something.
Because I used to like him, because they were both like proper actors, weren't they? And then they did this sitcom together, and he was good, and I liked him.
But which one are you talking about now?
Michael.
Yeah. He was a lovely... He was a small bloke. He was lovely, but he died.
And then, honestly, Ian,
they kept the programme going.
It had a different name, Jenny.
No, it didn't. It was still called...
I've still got old DVDs of it, not of a fine romance. Yeah, and that's got Michael in her husband.
It's got Jeffrey Palmer in it.
No, Jeffrey Palmer is not in a fucking...
Will you listen, woman? I'm a new caller. Ian.
Just kidding.
Did you ever used to watch? You've put me off my track. Did you ever used to watch the Fast Show?
Yes.
Did you like it?
Yes.
Yeah, I did as well.
Jenny, what are you doing later on? Do you fancy meeting up for a drink and a tussle?
Not really. I'm not up to it. No. You're too much for me.
Jenny, I think you are up to it. You're a good sport. I'll speak to you again soon. Thank you. Jeffrey Palmer, though. Jenny?
Yeah?
Jeffrey Palmer was not in A Fine Romance.
He was.
He wasn't. You are winding me up.
You know he wasn't.
Goodbye, Jenny.
Bye.
Thank you very much indeed. If you missed that call, that'll be in the podcast.
Michael Williams.
Right. Hang on, Jenny, you still there? No, we've lost her. Right. Find out if Jeffrey Palmer was ever in A Fine Romance. And then we're going to phone Jenny up and we're going to pwn her. Rosie's on the line.
Hi.
Good morning, Rosie.
Hi.
What have you got for us?
Just to agree with you for once, Ian. The sitcom with Jeffrey Palmer and Judy Dench is called As Time Goes By.
As Time Goes By. Thank you so much, Rosie. And he wasn't in A Fine Romance, was he?
No, he wasn't.
I mean, Time Goes By was a similar premise.
Yeah.
But he wasn't in... Do you remember That's My Boy?
No.
Molly Sugden?
No, I don't. Oh. But Blackadder was a funny English...
Oh, Rosie, do you know what? In the last... in the dying minutes of the show... You might have got me on a technicality. Yes, Blackadder was very...
Yeah, you have to go with Blackadder.
Blackadder was very, very funny.
It was.
Rosie, thank you very much indeed.
Cheers.
I know you don't like agreeing with me.
That's all right. Can you hear it in her voice, can you?
Yeah.
but
she likes justice. She likes justice. Anyway.
I like a bit of that.
We got Jenny back. Jenny?
Yeah?
Bit embarrassing for you, mate, isn't it?
I'm here.
Yeah, I know you are.
Oh, who's this?
This is Ian. Hello. You're on the radio again, so what's your language, your potty mouth sozo?
Oh, right, OK.
Rosie's just said that you're thinking of As Time Goes By with Jeffrey Palmer.
Oh, do you know I am? You're dead right. I can't believe it. You're dead right. I'm so shocked I was wrong.
Well, Jenny.
Oh, my goodness me. I was so convinced I was right.
Well, you've embarrassed yourself, Jenny. I'm never
wrong. Well, I'm not really embarrassed.
How are we going to sort this out?
It's fine. I'm not embarrassed.
No. You've hurt my feelings. I think I'm owed some sort of a public apology.
Oh, Ian, I'm so sorry. I can't believe I made such a dreadful mistake on the radio.
Bit more.
You know, I can't tell you how sorry. I mean, I might write you a big letter of apology and send you something nice to eat in the mornings.
Yeah,
and
bit more.
Money.
Yeah, bit more.
Lots of money.
Could you apologise to Catherine Boyle as well? She's my producer.
And Catherine as well. Yeah, I could. Maybe I could buy you a nice new house instead of the. Because your house has got a big crack in the kitchen.
Jenny, are you bonkers?
No, I'm just proving to you, I've been listening.
Jenny, you're very, very sweet, thank you. But you were wrong.
I was wrong.
Wasn't she just? There we go.
Got a great big slice of humble pie with Jenny's name on it.
And that was Jenny at the end there, making a complete plum of herself. Don't phone up and try and argue with me. I'm the argue-meister.
She was really angry even when she first called as well.
She was furious.
Before she was through.
Yeah, well.
It's all right to phone up and argue with him. Just make sure you've got your video straight.
She had her videos wrong, and I told her, and I knew it. Fair play, I shouldn't have lost my temper with her, but I was furious.
Or she pushed you to it.
I was seething. Mm. If I ever see that woman again, there'll be hell to pay.
Anyway, it's all forgiven now.
Yeah, it's all right, isn't it? So I've come up with a flipping amazing invention. This invention is actually amazing, and I'm going to say it.
Did you come up with it? Because I said something, and you went, oh, I've just come up with an invention.
No,
so
I think
I deserve at least 10%.
No, you don't deserve anything. I came up with this the other day. Unfortunately, I don't have the skills to manufacture it. So, for the benefit of mankind, and I don't want anything apart from probably at least one or two Nobel Peace Prizes.
And some props.
And I want my name to be written on it. This is a flipping amazing invention, right?
Go.
And when I say it, you'll go, oh!
Should you be saying it? Don't you want to TM it first?
No, I'm giving it away. Giving it away to someone cleverer than me.
To do the work on.
This is genuinely brilliant.
Go.
This will save the world.
Okay, tell me about it.
Windows. Right? You know, like Windows?
Yeah, they've been invented.
Ah. Windows that are solar panels. Oh, you know it! You know it! You know it, don't you? Don't you know it, though? You know that! You know it!
Can you stop waving that black fingernail at me?
You know that, don't you?
Don't solar panels have loads of wires running through them?
Currently they do, yes.
Right, so you need to get around that little problem.
Yeah, but do you know what?
You're like, Mum, what's the weather like? I don't know. Wiry.
People like you laughed at King Canute thinking he was mad. No, he was mad, wasn't he? No.
Yes.
People like you, who was...
Do you know that's where Knutsford's named after? In Cheshire.
What?
Canute Ford, Knutsford.
Because he was nuts. I'm glad we treat... well, anyway. Who was... The man that invented the helicopter, but in, like, the 1600s...
Da Vinci.
People laughed at Da Vinci.
Yeah.
And yet now there's...
Did he make one that worked? No, he just drew a picture.
No, according to the...
My daughter makes inventions, if that's the prerequisite.
No, according to the documentary, Mr. Peabody and Sherman, he made one. They went back in time and they wrote it. So, this is how it worked. So, all windows would be solar panels, OK? Mm. So, you would be able to feed your house fuel just by... having a window, every window. And yes, they would be wiry to start with, but as technology developed, the wire would get thinner. And do you know what? I think having your view obscured ever so slightly is a small price to pay so that your children have electricity.
You know what you've just done there?
Yeah?
Put yourself on the CIA's hit list.
Whoa, no!
Because you would take down the energy industry with that idea.
Shell.
You cannot be allowed to spread your ideas.
Shell and Scottish Power are now, they're phoning up the same man that murdered the man that invented the car that runs on water. Shell and Scottish Power have never murdered anybody. Yet. Someone phone up and tell me why that can't work. All windows will be solar powered. And the thing is, you're desperately, desperately, Catherine, trying to find a reason why it couldn't be so. And you can't. Oh, it's a little bit wiry.
I've come up with a better invention.
08459-455-555 if you want to give me £1 million. Yes.
It's this.
Yeah.
I came up with this years ago. It's not been done yet.
Yeah.
Right, you get a standard shape sofa.
I feel you're making something up.
No,
on
this is
the
true.
Spot. You're riffing.
I'm just waiting for you to hit me with the. You're going to Alan Sugar this, but
okay.
I'm going to try it anyway.
Okay, go.
Or Dragon's Den it.
Yeah.
You get a nice shaped sofa, one you'll be happy with for the rest of your natural
life. I love it, yeah.
But you don't have to live with that sofa for the rest of your life.
What?
Because you get a variation of different covers that you can change and you can wash in the washing machine, and so you can change your interior whenever you like. You're welcome.
That already exists.
No, you're welcome. The ones I do would be well cheap. You're welcome.
The thing is, we got a really expensive sofa and it's broken. So the innards would break. And also, you can buy different covers for your sofas anyway, so I've got literally no idea what you're banging on about.
No, but it
was... Stop trying to join my Inventors Club.
Oh.
My Inventors Club is for, A, for people who've got good inventions, B, the people that have got the balls, and I'm not apologising for that word, to see it through to its conclusion, and C, men.
Oh.
So you're excluded on all those counts?
Well, bar one.
Justin Dealey and R. Kelly... Sorry?
Yes.
I was looking... Well, what?
No, I wouldn't. Oh.
Snog or marry? Justin Kelly, just R. Dealey, no.
Oh, I know the answer.
Justin Dealey, R. Kelly and me. Snog, marry, avoid. Yeah? Guys, Alice, we'll start with you.
Well, I'd marry R. Kelly, because he's probably got the most to offer in terms of security.
That's fine, now it's got interesting.
And then I'm going to stop there.
You're going to snog Dealey, aren't you?
Not necessarily.
I would snog Dealey.
Out of you, R. Kelly and J-Dog.
Yeah. Kath?
Do I have to choose? Can I not do all three?
Let's listen to R. Kelly being discussed by Justin Dealey. On Fridays, we have a little theme tune, the R. Kelly remix to Ignition.
Yeah.
And I know you're a big fan of R. Kelly, isn't you?
Absolutely. I mean, following the success of Dexys last week, Come On Eileen, we did a mini documentary about the track, and we proved that people on the streets still love it.
I don't know if 1 minute 57 counts as a mini documentary.
A mini-mentary, if you will.
We told you about the history of the song, where it got to in the charts. Yes. We told you everything that you needed to know in 90 seconds, beautifully rounded up. Well, today's track we've picked is R. Kelly Ignition, a huge hit back in the 1990s. We are going to play the song in full very soon, but here's why the song is still so special to so many people. Here's some history and also me, Ian, taking it to the streets. Take a listen.
Taking it to the streets with J-Dog.
Robert Sylvester Kelly, the king of R&B. When clubs spin the intro...
Now, usually I don't do this, but,
The Massive say things like this.
Wicked tune, man. Respect.
Take me to the dance floor now.
Just like a drug, some people cannot start their weekend without it. He spent a month at number two in America, being cruelly denied a chart topper by gangster rapper 50 Cent's In Da Club. Well, here he went one better, becoming his second UK number one after I Believe I Can Fly. But does the song slash tune still resonate on the streets today? Is the Pope a Catholic? Is a banana yellow? I think you know the answer, guys. Henna, what's the soundtrack to your weekend?
R. Kelly.
Yeah, like, gets you, like, mellow. Yeah, good vibes.
Yeah, it's a great song, mate. Great song.
Is that the sort of song that you bump and grind to at weekends?
Yeah, with the missus, mate.
You get worried about things.
Yeah.
Just revive yourself. That's what it is. It makes you revive yourself.
I never quite realised Ignition had that much power. It's amazing. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
And lastly, a special mention to this fella, who was listening to Chilled Trap on the streets via his boogie box. When he heard me mention Ignition, he flicked his iPod and played it to passers-by.
Here it comes.
This is quite incredible.
High five moment.
R. Kelly, the man who gave us 3 minutes and 7 seconds of music pleasure that still tingles the spine even now. Respect to you, R. Officially the most successful R&B artist of all time.
Tasha's in Luton. Morning, Tasha.
Good morning.
What would you like to say?
Could you play the Boa Constrictor song? My children have been singing it since 6:30 this morning and they're driving me bonkers because they don't know the words.
We don't? Oh, what words are they singing?
I can get them to sing it.
Oh, you get... Tell you what, we don't normally do requests. If you get them to sing it, I'll play it for them.
OK, sing it how you sung it this morning. 1, 2, 3. I love...
Wait.
I'm being eaten by a boa constrictor. I'm being eaten by a boa constrictor. I'm being eaten by a boa constrictor. And it goes like this. Oh, always swallow my toe. Oh, gee, he swallow money, he swallow money. Oh, heck, it's up to my neck, it's up to my neck. Oh, dread, it's one of my...
I'm being swallowed by a boa constrictor. I'm being swallowed by a boa constrictor.
You said you had a song for us.
Well, yeah, so many songs, but there was one that I always used to... I got a bit renowned for, I suppose, on the... on the circuit, and it was how could Red Riding Hood have been so very good and still keep the wolf from the door? Father and mother, she had none, so where in the world did the money come from? You needn't ask it how she filled a basket for the storybook. It never tells. They say that she found a wolf in Granny's bed with a big sunbonnet pulled over his head. But you know, and I know, what she found instead. How could Red Riding Hood have been so very good and still keep the wolf from the door? How about that?
Oh, mate. Mate. And there was some other stuff you heard there. But, hey, who cares? Wasn't that Boa Constrictor song good?
I would snog R. Kelly, then I'd marry R. Kelly, then I'd avoid R. Kelly. That seems to be the pattern, isn't it?
A couple of songs in there you heard were Billy, who was our guest, singing a wonderful tune. I was worried where that song was going to go.
It was a rude song, actually, if you listen to the lyric.
It was filthy.
Kath explained it to me after. She gave me the analysed version. Pre-adult stuff.
Filthy.
And some kids muffing up the Boa Constrictor, or muffing it, or remixing the Boa Constrictor song.
I think
song.
They made it better.
I tell you what, we've had the Boa Constrictor song sung by those children. Can we have it again to end on? Here it is.
I'm being eaten by a boa constrictor. I'm being eaten by a boa constrictor. I'm being eaten by a boa constrictor. And it goes like this. Oh no, swallow my toe, swallow my toe. Oh gee, swallow money, he swallow money. Oh, heck, it's one of my neck. It's up to my neck. Oh, dread, it's one of my...
Thanks for listening to this free download from BBC Three Counties Radio, your local radio station for Beds, Hearts and Bucks, on FM, AM, digital radio, and online at bbc.co.uk/threecounties.